Easter, for many, is the most important date in the Christian calendar. It is on Easter Day that Christians around the globe celebrate the resurrection of Jesus as the Christ, the Savior of all humanity. It's a celebration of spring, of rebirth. In the United States, parents give their children baskets filled with chocolate bunnies and have Easter egg hunts. Have you ever wondered where some of these customs originate? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
We pride ourselves on being rational thinking people. We think of ourselves as up to date in our thoughts and actions. We try to have good reasons for everything we do. Why then do we do some of the things we do? Consider, for example, Easter. Why do many rational people pretend and tell children that rabbits lay brightly colored eggs as part of a religious observance? I know, it seems like such a harmless, childish custom. But ask yourself, do these myths and customs relate in any way to the Bible? It's not that the origins of such customs cannot be determined. Often, around Easter time, newspapers and television shows describe the origins of some of these practices. Encyclopedias and other books often help paint a picture of the passing of these customs down to us from ancient cultures. Why, then, do we continue to perpetuate such strange customs whose origins come not from the Bible, but from the dark, dim mist of antiquity? And yet we persist in perpetuating them on our children. Oddly enough, we also attach great religious significance to some of these practices. Ancient societies, cut off from the knowledge of the Creator, had to deal with the frightening power and uncertainty of nature. They were at the mercy of a sun supplying light and heat that disappeared every night. They were faced with the unanswerable questions about death. And everywhere around them, they saw the cycle of life, the seasons that brought rain and drought and controlled the growth of crops. Many of the forces of nature, including the sun and moon, became objects of worship. Superstition became the foundation of religions that knew nothing of the true Creator. Now, Judaism and Christianity were revolutionary, and the concept of worshiping the Creator and seeing the natural environment as His handiwork instead of mysterious forces to be worshipped. The Apostle Paul, in teaching Christians about the pagan world in the first century A.D., writes to the Roman church in Romans 1:20-25. Now, if you don't have a Bible, go get one and follow along. Starting in verse 20 of Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes," and here he's talking about God, "are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Here Paul writes that creation reveals the attributes of God as Creator. Now continuing in verse 21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Here Paul warns Christians against the dangers of substituting idolatry for true religion. Now, many Christians agree that religions like Hinduism or Buddhism are idolatrous and deny the one true God. It's common for Christians to decry the New Age movement with its emphasis on Mother Nature and pagan symbols. But what about some of the most cherished customs and symbols used in mainstream Christianity? Have you ever wondered why eggs and rabbits, the popular hallmark of Easter, are selected as symbols of fertility? You know, because the ability to reproduce is critical for food and preservation of life, mankind has long been intrigued by fertility. The Encyclopedia of Religion has this to say about ancient fertility customs. Quote, "In traditional folk religion, the egg is a powerful symbol of fertility, purity, and rebirth. It is used in magical rituals to promote fertility and restore virility, to look into the future, to bring good weather, to encourage the growth of crops, and protect both cattle and children against misfortune, especially the dreaded evil eye. All over the world, it represents life and creation, fertility and resurrection. Later," and now this is customs concerning eggs, "were linked with Easter. The egg provided a fresh and powerful symbol of the resurrection and the transformation of death into life, unquote. You know, it's no secret that rabbits are extremely prolific. The does bear several litters of 2 to 8 young each year, and gestation takes only about a month. No wonder hares and rabbits became ancient fertility symbols. The roots of Easter celebration date long before Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Various Easter customs can be traced back to ancient spring celebrations surrounding Astarte, the goddess of spring and fertility. Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary has this to say about ancient paganism and its emphasis on fertility rituals. Now listen to this, quote, "The pagan nations made statues or images to represent the powers which they worshipped. Most of these idols were in the form of animals or men, but sometimes these idols represented celestial powers like the sun, moon, and stars, forces of nature like the sea and the rain, or life forces like death and truth. And time, an elaborate system of beliefs in such natural forces was developed into mythology. Each civilization and culture had its own mythological structure, but these structures were often quite similar. The names of the gods may have been different, but their functions and actions were often the same. The most prominent myth to cross cultural lines was that of the fertility cycle. Many pagan cultures believed that the god of fertility died each year during the winter, but was reborn each year in the spring. The details differed among cultures, but the main idea was the same," unquote. You see, in pagan mythology, even the sun represented life. The sun supposedly died around the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. Complementing the rebirth of the sun were spring fertility rites, whose surviving symbols thread their way throughout Easter celebrations, including early morning sunrise rituals. It's also well known that many ancient fertility rites revolved around gross sexual immorality and perversion. References to these rites are referred to throughout the Bible and in ancient sources under a variety of names and descriptions. The Babylonian and Assyrian fertility goddess was Ishtar. Ishtar symbolized Mother Earth and the natural cycle of fertility. Many myths grew up around this female deity. She was the goddess of love, and the practice of ritual prostitution became widespread in the fertility cult dedicated to her name. Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary continues, quote, "Temples to Ishtar had many priestesses or sacred prostitutes who symbolically acted out the fertility rites of the cycle of nature. Ishtar has been identified with the Phoenician Astarte, the Semitic Ashtoreth, and the Sumerian Inanna. Strong similarities also exist between Ishtar and the Egyptian Isis, the Greek Aphrodite, and the Roman Venus. Associated with Ishtar was the young god Tammuz, considered both divine and mortal. In Babylonian mythology, Tammuz died annually and was reborn year after year, representing the yearly cycle of the seasons and the crops. This pagan belief later was identified with the pagan gods Baal and Anat in Canaan." So we can see that fertility symbols associated with ancient paganism are simply reproduced into Christian customs associated with Easter. Now, before you dismiss this as unimportant, we need to see if there's anything biblically wrong with celebrating Easter. In our next segment, we'll be discussing more commonly held misconceptions about what the Bible really says about Easter.
Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We all like to think that we are reasonable human beings and that our beliefs and practices are rooted in truth. This is especially true of Christians who believe that the Bible is God's truth revealed to His children. Yet, what if some of our most cherished customs aren't rooted in the Bible, but originated in religions that are diametrically opposite to the teachings of the Scripture? We have with us on a telephone hookup from Lubbock, Texas, David Trebig, author of Holidays or Holy Days? Does it matter which days we keep? David, welcome back to Good News Radio.
Thank you, Gary. It's good to be back.
You know, most of the time, we don't think much about the origins of customs that we do every day. What are some of the origins of the Easter celebration?
Surprisingly, to most people, the origins of Easter predate Christianity. For example, Easter eggs and rabbits go back to ancient fertility rites. The egg was considered a symbol of life, and rabbits multiplied prolifically, hence their choices as symbols of fertility. The tradition of eating ham in connection with these fertility rites is also a little-known fact. It seems the pig was a symbol of luck in pre-Christian European culture. Looking for fertile fields and animals, people would hold these celebrations in honor of the gods of nature every spring.
Okay, but when we look at the modern world, isn't Easter celebrating and commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
Gary, that's the common assumption, that Easter does do this, but this assumption is wrong on several counts. The celebration of Easter today comes from an attempt to give paganism a Christian veneer. Many years ago, when the Catholic Church began bringing pagans into Christianity, they discovered that the pagans would accept Christianity, but they would also continue to celebrate their pagan holidays, such as the spring fertility rites. The thinking was to give the pagan celebrations a Christian name so the people could continue to observe those celebrations. Eventually, it was assumed the pagan celebrations with Christianized concepts could be replaced by better Christian celebrations. Unfortunately, and to the chagrin of some Catholic theologians, that day never came. These pseudo-Christian celebrations remain with us today.
But you talk about the Catholic Church, but doesn't the Easter celebration predate the Catholic Church, and that the apostles and disciples of Jesus kept it after his death and resurrection?
No, the apostles and disciples of the first century never celebrated Easter. They wouldn't have anything to do with the ancient customs and practices associated with those things. In fact, they celebrated a completely different set of holy days, days, I might also add, that have been basically forgotten by most of Christianity.
Well, then how did Easter become such an important day in the Christian calendar?
There are actually two reasons why Easter became so popular. The first reason I've already mentioned: Christianity found it couldn't prevent newly converted pagans from celebrating their ancient fertility celebrations, so they simply gave those celebrations, held on generally the same days, a thinly but misguided Christian name. The second reason why Easter became popular is because of anti-Semitism, a hatred of the Jewish people. One of the largest debates within Christianity in the first three centuries after Jesus' crucifixion was over which celebrations to observe in the spring. One group wanted to observe Passover, as Jesus, the apostles, and members of the first century AD church did. In history, those favoring this biblical celebration were called Quartodecimans, a term meaning the 14th, which originated in the biblical date for Passover on the 14th day of the first biblical month. The other group wanted to observe Easter on a different date than the one biblically prescribed. In settling this debate, the Emperor Constantine selected the latter, non-biblical date, because he didn't want any connection with the Jewish people, who also observed it. So Easter comes to us today as a result of continuing pagan celebrations and anti-Semitism.
But would there really be anything wrong with celebrating Christ's resurrection on Sunday morning, on Easter morning?
As I mentioned earlier, Easter has only a thin veneer of Christianity associated with it, and sadly, that veneer itself is often flawed. While it's true that Jesus was resurrected in the spring, Easter is the wrong date for his resurrection. This holiday doesn't match up with the biblical record. It's off by several weeks, and it commemorates the wrong day of the week. The biblical record shows that Jesus was already resurrected on Sunday. Very early Sunday morning, when the disciples came to the tomb, he was no longer there. This mistaken teaching that Jesus was resurrected on Sunday morning has been used to supposedly authenticate a misguided pagan fertility celebration.
Was Jesus resurrected on Sunday morning? Most Christians believe he was, but is that what the Bible really teaches? We'll be back to look at this intriguing question right after these messages.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
We've been discussing the origins of Easter with David Trebig, author of Holidays or Holy Days, Does It Matter Which Days We Keep? Now, before the break, we were talking about how Jesus wasn't resurrected on Sunday morning, as most Christians believe. David, when was Jesus resurrected?
The scriptures indicate that Jesus was resurrected on Saturday evening at sunset. We come to this conclusion when we learn that Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday afternoon and buried that evening at sunset. Exactly 3 days and three nights from the time of his burial brings us to Saturday evening at sunset. From Wednesday evening at sunset, Thursday evening makes one complete day and night, Friday at sunset makes two, and Saturday evening at sunset fulfills three complete days and nights.
Okay, but, you know, there's a lot of differing opinions on this. Some say he died on Friday, was resurrected Sunday. How important is this concept of Jesus being in the grave for 3 days and three nights?
Gary, you're correct that the tradition about it being Friday doesn't really match up with a Sunday resurrection. But this concept of Jesus being in the grave for 3 days and three nights is taken from Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, and it's an extremely important passage. There Christ himself said that he would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and that this event would be the only proof that he would give that he was indeed the Messiah. So Jesus' own credibility rests on this prophecy.
Well, Dave, we really do appreciate you being on the phone with us all the way from Texas. We do have one more question we'd like to ask. You know, if we look at the apostles, and you said the early church of the first century did not observe Easter, what did they celebrate in the spring? I mean, did they celebrate anything surrounding Jesus Christ in the spring?
Yes, they did, Gary. The biblical name for the festival that they observed is called Passover. And actually, the meaning has to do with Christ's crucifixion and death. Christ actually tells us in the scriptures that we're supposed to celebrate his death as opposed to celebrating his resurrection. You see, there really is no passage in the Bible that tells us we're supposed to celebrate his resurrection. So the Passover is the annual event. And interestingly enough, this date always falls on the exact date that of Christ's crucifixion. Unlike Easter, which, if it's always a Sunday, obviously from different years, is a different date, because we all know that the calendar, for a birthday, for example, it doesn't always fall on the same day of the week. So the Passover is the biblical date that the Christians observed.
So this really is important. Well, thanks for being on the program. We'll have to have you back again sometime.
My pleasure.
Are Easter customs wrong for Christians? If you would like more information about the origins of Easter and the messianic sign of 3 days and three nights, call for your free copy of Holidays or Holy Days, Does It Matter Which Days We Keep? Call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Throughout the Old Testament, God expresses his displeasure with his people Israel when they served false gods. Some 2,600 years ago, three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faced a crisis when they were commanded to show honor to a false god. The prophet Daniel records their story in Daniel chapter 7. After their native country of Judah was conquered by the Babylonian Empire, the three were taken to Babylon to be trained for service in King Nebuchadnezzar's government. They were in a vulnerable position in a kingdom in which the monarch ruled with absolute power. The king built a graven image and commanded that everyone should show honor to his creation by bowing down to it. And although some may have reasoned that they should show respect to the ruler by accepting some of the customs, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego determined to show respect to God by refusing to comply with this decree. They knew that their decision would lead to being thrown into a fiery furnace. These courageous young men were willing to give their lives, if necessary, to show loyalty to God alone. Appreciating their devotion, God spared their lives in a powerful and miraculous witness to King Nebuchadnezzar. The faithfulness of these young men remains an enduring example of respect and love for God. Their example should inspire all of us to honor our Creator with a similar sense of loyalty and dedication. Now, some say that the Old Testament instructions condemning mixing of paganism with godly worship were annulled by the coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing could be further from the truth. To prove the continuity of God's teaching in the New Testament, let us consider the city of Corinth. Here we find one of the most instructive examples of how incorporating paganism into Christianity is unacceptable to God. The city sat on an important trade route and had a great deal of wealth. Worship of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love, had long been part of the city's history. It also boasted a temple to Apollo, the Greek sun god. What was Corinth and the Christian church there like in the first century? We turn again to the Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Quote, here the Apostle Paul established a flourishing church made up of a cross-section of the worldly-minded people who had flocked to Corinth to participate in the gambling, legalized temple prostitution, business adventures, and amusements available in a first-century navy town. The city soon became a melting pot for the approximately 500,000 people who lived there at the time of Paul's arrival. Merchants and sailors anxious to work the docks migrated to Corinth. Professional gamblers and athletes betting on the games took up residence. Slaves, sometimes freed but with no place to go, roamed the streets day and night. And prostitutes, both male and female, were abundant. People from Rome, the rest of Greece, Egypt, Asia Minor, indeed all of the Mediterranean world relished the lack of standards and freedom of thought that prevailed in the city, unquote. Writing to the Christians who came out of that diverse group with their traditions of idol worship, Paul addressed the same issue of whether pagan religious customs and practices had any place among God's people. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18, he says, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are, speaking of Christians, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Instead of renaming some of the pagan customs as Christian, or allowing the new converts to retain aspects of their former practices, the Apostle Paul commands them to leave behind all of those forms of worship. He condemns the sexual immorality that was a common part of the fertility rites in honor of the goddess Aphrodite. As Jesus taught, we simply cannot serve two masters. We cannot simultaneously embrace two competing systems of worship. Shouldn't Christians apply these same teachings of Christ to explore the cherished customs that originate in paganism? It's a tough question. Are you willing to explore your religious customs and seek to worship God as He wishes to be worshiped? Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. If you would like to comment on today's program, drop us an email at gnradio@ucg.org. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is the full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.